from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yeah, 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 yeah. New York City. KM to 9 p.m. Keith McPherson on the Fan, your nighttime host. I've been off for a few days, but I'm back. 888-808-1019. Call me up one time. Hit the phone line. Let's get right to it. I think you know what we're talking about. The update kind of spoiled what I was going to hit you with the Mets. Basically talking about how this game is even more of a must-win with the Braves. The Braves, like, I don't know how this happens. The Braves gave up 7 runs in the 8th inning. You just heard they were up 8-2. Talk about a bullpen imploding. I'm looking at the box score. They had a guy give up 4 runs, give up 3 runs. Blown save. Like, that's tough. That's a tough way to go out. I mean, when I talk about the haves and the have-nots, you can't take your foot off the gas. You can't think that, oh, yeah, we got the Colorado Rockies. Throw anybody out there. This is nothing. No, the Rockies will try and get the best of you. They don't care. Their season's over. There's no pressure. So the Braves now lose that series to the Rockies. They got swept by the Brewers, and they didn't just get swept by the Brewers. They got pummeled. It wasn't close. Like, 10-0 shutout first game, 5-8 loss, then a 16-7 loss. So the Braves are reeling. And who'd they add at the deadline? Jorge Soler? Well, I mean, he's been hitting homers every day, but he can't power them to victory. He can't pitch. And they have to continue on the road here and go face the San Francisco Giants for 4 in their building, a team that's fighting for position, and then the Angels, who have been scrappy. So the Mets have to go ahead and find a way to score some runs. Luis Severino has to pitch, and don't get shut out. If you can win the game 1-0, as we've seen Luis Severino do not too long ago, then win the game 1-0. 888-808-1019. I'm looking forward to the coverage of this game tonight. My guy Dave Sims just posted, hey now, the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball TV crew is here. It's Eduardo Perez, David Cohn, and Carl Ravage. And if you know Dave Sims, used to be on air here in New York City, he calls the Mariners games, and a great picture is on his Twitter of them all together. He says, first time Sunday Night Baseball has been here in Seattle since June 4th, 2004. Shout out to David Cohn. I also was off on Thursday because I was at David Cohn's celebrity golf outing. If you've heard me talk about golf, it was last year that I went to the golf outing. I had never picked up a golf club. I had never swung before. And I was riding around the golf course, not playing. Guys like Mark Malusis was out there, John Jastrzemski, our guy CeeLo was out there. I'm trying to think who else from Sweeney Murdy. Those guys were out there last year, and they're like, you got to play next year. So I was like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. Man, I've got golf shoes. I've got a golf bag. Shout out to Casamigos. I'm working on getting my clubs. I've taken lessons over at Hudson Golf, and I'm ready to go. I haven't played on a real course yet, but I don't have the fear anymore that I would just be a complete novice. I think at least I know how to hold the club and swing, but I'm getting there. It rained on that parade as well. A lot of rain this week, much needed. Obviously, it's been dry and hot out here, but we didn't golf. We just had the cocktail hour, kind of like a little networking, rubbing shoulders, and then we had a great dinner and an event where we honored David Cohn's 25 years since his perfect game. Guys like Wade Boggs showed up. He had an award presented to him that night. Bernie Williams was on the stage with Joe Girardi, David Cohn, Ramiro Mendoza, and Tom Verducci was in the building hosting with Sweeney Murdy, and JJ was the MC as well. And I had the honor of sitting right next to Allison Lucas, and it was just great. Shout out to you if you're listening, and I met you there. It was great to meet fans that listen to WFAN. You know, I'm always just like blown away by, you know, what people say when I run into them. You never know. You know, I'm in here right now. There's like 4 people in the building. You never know who's listening. You never know what you mean to somebody or when they listen to you. And it's great to meet people face to face. I look forward to going to that event every year, Coney gave me a shout out. I was like, man, this is great. Coney's like, we got Keith here. I got to sit next to Brian Hoke. Ken Danico was out there. It was an awesome event. Even though we didn't golf, it was great to see everybody. It's like, you know, this big Yankee family, a lot of the same people that work in the hobby collecting business with the cards and the merchandise. And, you know, it was really nice. Look forward to that next year. That's where I was Thursday. That's why I wasn't on. But let's get back to the phones. My guy Mario is out in Long Beach. What's up, Mario? You're back on the Fan.
What's going on? Perfect timing, right before the Met game. How you doing? Great show, as always.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm in here watching the Dallas Cowboys versus the Los Angeles Rams field goal party. It's 9-6.
What do you think about the Cowboys this year?
Yikes. Jerry Jones just got on the microphone to talk about, you know, CeeDee Lamb, you are missed. Jerry, 3 days ago, you were talking about there's no urgency to get the guy's deal done. He said, LOL, on Twitter, he removed America's team from his bio, and there's a holdout going on, and now you're getting on camera to say, oh, CD, we miss you. Yeah, you need that guy, but whatever.
What would you do with Dak Prescott? Would you give him? Would you make him the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL?
I think that they have to because they defaulted into that. Every step of the way, they didn't believe in Dak Prescott, and he got better and better and better. Every step of the way, they didn't want to give him the contract. He's a fourth-round pick. I've said this on the Fan a bunch of times. A fourth-round pick could be a steal of a deal with what Dak Prescott became. They never got in front of it. They were always late on it. Here they are late on it again.
Yep. Not so quickly on the Yankees. Really, really feeling good about them for a couple of reasons. You know, everybody was talking about walking Judge. Now if Stanton hits, they're going to have a problem to walk Judge, you know?
Yep.
This is going to be a problem.
No,
you know,
great.
And also their pitching, their starting pitching. Rodon has four starts, 2.3 ERA. Gill on his last five starts, 1.9. And Cole came back and he looks like the ace in this last game. So I think that it's a very good possibility we could go into the playoffs, and I'll listen to your response for that. But I have one question before I do that.
Yeah. Stroman came back and looked better today. I'm not worried about Will Warren. He's a young pitcher. Like I said, he made his career debut in Philly. They were able to come back and win that game. He got absolutely spanked in his Yankee Stadium debut. It is what it is. But Clark Schmidt is on the mend. Clark Schmidt will take that spot. And you hope that this is the best version of Clark.
Maybe Cody Petit goes
to the bullpen. Cody Petit, they put on the 60-day IL. Unfortunately, I was excited for him to return too, but in one of their roster moves, they moved him to the 60-day IL. So I don't know what the timetable is for him to return.
Yeah, since you played it, let me ask you a quick technical question, then I'll let you go and I'll hear your response. I can't understand why catchers go down on one knee with a man on base. If the pitch is a little bit too far to the left or right, they can't move and do anything. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Yeah, I think that's a newer thing. I think that's a newer thing with them stealing strikes, with them being in position to throw. I never played catcher. I played baseball until I was 13. Wish I played longer. My son will play through high school if I can force him to. Because, I mean, I really started to actually, like, come into my own running and throwing the ball. And then I was just a football player and stopped playing basketball and ran track and I had to focus on just football because people were telling me this can get you to college. Yeah, you know, I really believe they should let kids play everything, maybe even force them to play everything because there's just so many different skills that translate. It just makes you more well-rounded. 888-808-1019. Back to the phones we go. Folks still want to talk about Craig, and that's fine. Craig is a friend of mine. Susan is a friend of mine. Both of them have helped me in my career. Both of them have given me advice. Both of them are a text away. I was pleased to hear them two together on the broadcast. I was pleased to hear Craig really, you know, loosening up and enjoying himself and leaning into some things. And I root for people, right? I root for people living their dreams. Like this past week on WFAN was Loogie week on WFAN. Out of nowhere, Loogie had more airtime, more shifts than he probably could have ever imagined at this point. And I give props to Tommy. Even though I disagree with a lot of his takes as far as like Tommy DeVito should be the starter week one, Luis Severino should go to the bullpen, they should put a rule where if you intentionally walk a guy 10 times, the 11th time you award him second base, people started calling in immediately like, yo, I won't even continue to go into that. It was funny too because I'm like, a lot of this stuff, Loogie, could potentially be wrong down the line, like, don't make plans for October. Positive Tommy says the Mets will be playing baseball. Like, we don't know that. Like, if they get swept tonight and then some things don't go there, like, we don't know that, Tommy, but I can appreciate the shtick. I can appreciate the takes going for it and the work. And that's what you guys don't understand, right? You might not like Loogie's voice, or you might not like his, I'm a generational talent, and Loogie, and Positive Tommy, and all the, you know, same things that he says. This is a guy who has worked here for a long time, who has done everything here for a long time. And he took on the challenge this week to do Afternoon Drive, Lightning and Loogie, Tiki and Tommy, also do his Lugauer. And this is a guy who's been executive producing. So it's just, there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes. I root for guys. I root for guys getting an opportunity, like Craig Carton, getting an opportunity to call a Yankee game, where the first thing he said opening up was, this was not on my bingo card. But so what? Me calling a game sitting in for Susan Waldman, I told you guys, I didn't think I was in striking distance of doing that. It wasn't in my mind's eye. It wasn't something I was aiming for. But when the opportunity presents itself, you got to take it. It's fight or flight. It's sink or swim. You get thrown into the fire a lot in life. And that can actually, you know, whether you survive it or not, that can do a lot for you. I think, you know, me getting that opportunity did a lot for me. And I think this is huge for Craig. That's forever. You know, MLB Network is putting out the highlights. They're using Craig's voice. We're using Craig's voice in the updates. He did a good job. No matter what you think about him as a person, as a broadcaster, whatever, he stepped in and did the job. And I think he did the job well. Mason is out in Jersey. Mason, you're on the Fan.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey there, Keith.
Hello.
I don't got much of a question, but I'd say regarding Craig that I totally forgot about this, that he was broadcasting, and I turn on the game and I hear Craig, and people might not like to hear this, but I hate to say it, but I'd like to hear him every day.
Well, yeah, that's not to cut you off, that's a thing too. There are Craig Carton fans, a lot of them, and he was on this radio station every single day for a while, so just to hear his voice and his la 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 and his signature laugh and different things that Craig says and does and the way that he talks, like, I'm sure some people enjoyed it.
I'm a Boston fan, although I live in the tri-state, so I listen I've been listening to Yankee games all my life. I'd appreciate hearing a guy like Craig, you know. I'd just say I'd want to come here and give him my support, saying he did great. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for the call, Mason. Yes. He did a good job, and that's not easy to do. There is a lot thrown at you. They are throwing you stat packets with all this information about both teams. It is a hot, sunny day. There are 40,000 plus. And shout out to the Yankee fans. Like, our attendance this year is crazy. Like, I don't think there's another team that rivals the attendance in the American League, the Dodgers. But, like, without a doubt, rain delays, postponements, doubleheaders, people are showing up to the Bronx because we got the generational Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, and people want to go there and see these guys hit home runs and do their handshake and do the Superman and the crown on the head and chant, let's go Yankees. Let's go to Vernon and Carolyn out in Freeport on the Fan in New York.
What's going on, Keith? Man, I love the work that you do, brother. I love the work that you do. Being a Yankee fan and all, I get to appreciate what I still think is an honest assessment of the Yankees coming from you. So I respect what you have to offer. But I was just talking about the Yankees, Aaron Judge, Soto, this combination, bro. You got to really do something with your inside connect there and make sure that we don't lose this dude, bro. Like, we can't lose him. Like, you got to talk to Hal, pull his coat to let him know that, you know, I pay the prices, bro. I'm right there. I go to about 30 games a year. Mm-hmm. I'm paying the price. So I want him to do the same for me, man. I need him to step up.
Heard you. We can't. Copy. Got it. Like, yo, I'm right there with you. And I don't have any type of pull or inside connect. I think this microphone is powerful. Social media has reach on it. There might have been a week where I maybe thought, like, I think it was, you know, when we were losing to the Mets, where I'm like, hey, he's been on the wrong side of this battle. You know, the Subway Series, he's probably looking over there like, they got Grimace. They got an OMG sign. They're beating our ass. It might be fun over there, right? That was the only way. I remember before the season, I'm like, the only way is if the Yankees are dysfunctional and the Mets somehow thrive and the grass looks greener on the other side. And speaking of green, they have the owner with the most green in the sport who can just always up the offer. If Hal says he's going to give him $500, he can just price his right him and say, oh, $501 million.
Being a Yankee fan and always wanting us to be successful, at the end of the day, we win the World Series this year, there's no way he's coming back. There's no way. Because the money, the championships are not going to matter. Even if he knows he can take $600 million from Cohen, I already got two championships. Like, well, you know, now it's about the money. I'm 25, and I ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, well,
so I think it's to our detriment to win, but I think we have to win because we don't know if we're going to be able to keep them.
Vernon, appreciate the call, but don't ever, ever, ever call me and say it's to our detriment to win the World Series. What? Okay? Yo, first off, we've had this conversation before. Hey, Keith. Would you rather win the World Series and lose Juan Soto or lose the World Series and keep Juan Soto? Win the World Series. Stop. Period. Stop. Win the World Series. How many times have I been on the fan talking about what I'm imagining, dreaming, envisioning the next World Series to look like? Win the World Series in late October, early November, and then whatever happens in the winter meetings in December, who cares? Like a lot of you guys are the people that love to think about Christmas in the middle of the summer. You guys are already making a list, checking it twice. I'm not worried about December. I do not care who wants what kind of gift. I don't care what kind of gift anybody is getting me. Christmas is a long ways down the line. I'm trying to make it through today. Take it day by day, game by game, series by series, week to week, month to month. Now, what you're seeing with Juan Soto and Judge, and man, I'm watching this guy park the ball into the right field bleachers where I spend a lot of time. Not in 204, but 203. Still, I love when this guy hits home runs over there. I was telling somebody at the David Cone event about him hitting the ball up to the suite level in right field. It doesn't make any sense. Shout out to Joe and the Italian-American baseball guys and the suite that they had with Joe Girardi. And I couldn't make it Saturday. I was being a dad and a good husband. I definitely would have been in there. Juan Soto hit a ball up to the party suites. You're not supposed to do that. But I would love to see that guy do that for the next 10 years. This is a guy that is, as of today, homered against all 30 Major League Baseball teams. The Centurion, as I named him, the Centurion Ferrari, has taken that drive and against every team, not every ballpark. Coming up, he's yet to homer in guaranteed rate field on the south side of Chicago. I'm going to be betting that and rolling that over. If he doesn't do it tomorrow, then I'm going to bet it Tuesday, Wednesday, because you know he's trying to do that. It'll work itself out. As Hal Steinbrenner and the New York Yankees see how many people are showing up to watch this Judge and Soto show. I saw a kid, first game, came to see the Judge and Soto show. You don't want to break them up, but we know he's going to take the most money. Let's see what happens this year, though. There's no reason in thinking about it and talking too much about it because we have to see how this season ends and plays out. But for what my money's worth, I want a World Series win. I want a championship. I want a parade. I want to live in that. One player, one contract, that doesn't matter. It's about the New York Yankees winning 28. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Time is flying. Halfway through my three-hour show, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Okay. Told you I was coming right back. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson on The Fan, a little Sunday sauce. I don't always do these Sunday shows, but next Sunday, live from Fanatics Fest, 12 to 3 at the Javits Center. I cannot wait for that. Allen Iverson's going to be there on Sunday. That's like the one guy I'm hoping to run into. even if I can just see him, I'm assuming we're on a stage. Maybe we're not on a stage, but I'll be live from Fanatics Fest 12 to 3 on Sunday. I think Sal and Joe B will be there on Saturday, and then you'll get our regular shows, the morning show, the midday show, the afternoon drive on Friday. Shout out to Sal. We didn't have any Sal this week. Sal was off this week. And shout out to BT. Can we get BT in the Yankees booth, right? I know BT wants a shot at it. He wants a shot at calling a Yankee game. Ed is out in Mohegan. What's up, Ed? You're on the Fan.
What do you say, Keith? How you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, the thing with Craig, I thought it was great. I thought it was tremendous. It's a great story. But what I want to ask you this. They're talking about replacing John. You're never going to replace John Sterling. Just like you're never going to replace Howard Cosell. You know, you couldn't replace...
One of one icons. There is no other one of those guys for a reason. And Craig is not taking that job full time.
Well, no. I'm just saying I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what his plans are, but that seems to be the top conversation this weekend. What I'm curious about, I mean, he has a distinct sounding voice, a lot like Phil Rizzuto, a lot like, you know, Mel Allen, those guys, Howard, all those guys. They're talented, but they also have a gift.
That's part of it. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, why not go to a three-man booth or a three-person booth? I mean, that would include Susan. I would love to see the pairing of Ricky Ricardo and Craig, not only because of their talents, but I mean, their voices are so distinctly different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain litany to listening to them. Just like, you know, like with Mike and Chris, with Russ Salzberg and Steve Sommers back in the day. You know, there are certain guys that just sound good together. It's poetic. It's musical. And I think Craig, I like Craig when he's with somebody. I think Craig by himself is like Lou Costello by himself. It didn't work by himself. I mean, he's great, but I'd like to hear him with somebody. And do you think the Yankees would go with a three-person booth?
If Craig is willing to sit in for Susan and do the color commentary, yeah, I could see that with Ricky doing the play-by-play.
Absolutely. It would just be fun to listen to. I think some of these guys, they need to pair them up. And like when Rizzuto was with Bill White and Frank Messer, it was the last time I think there was a three-man booth. I think maybe the only time.
Yeah.
I mean, all at the same time. I mean, I know, you know, Michael Kay and Cohen and O'Neill, but are they ever in the booth at the same time?
The TV booth is different than the radio booth. I don't know the last time we've had a three-man booth in the Yankee radio. I don't know. I can't call it. Thanks for the call, Ed. That made me think, too. You know, that's history being made. I know, you know, I didn't speak on it much. I didn't lean into it. But being an African-American male, getting the opportunity to call a Yankee game. I talked to Dave Sims, who's calling this game for the Seattle Mariners right now. It's 0-0, bottom of the second. Only one hit in the game. Last time I checked, still only one hit in the game. No runs scored. You know, me getting the opportunity to sit in for Susan Waldman on the call, that's historic. You know, awful announcing might not cover it, but that's history being made. Craig Carton getting the opportunity to call a game. He is now in a list of names. Not everybody gets the opportunity to do that. So congratulations again to Craig. And don't let it be lost in this. Susan Waldman deserves a ton of credit. That is her booth. She did not retire. But she is allowing us to bring new voices in, new people in, kind of jazz things up. No pun intended, and have a little bit of fun. And I think Craig brought energy and brought a lot of fun. And there is the Mariners fans having their first little bit of fun, as we do now have a hit and a run on the board. Unfortunately, in the bottom of the second here, Jorge Polanco goes deep to center off Luis Severino. It is 1-0 Mariners. With no outs here. Anyway, yeah, that's history what Craig did. That's history what I got to do. I think everybody is in lockstep on how great Ricky Ricardo is. But again, if you take Ricky Ricardo out of the Yankees baseball Espanol, you know, like if you take him away from that full-time gig that he has and put him as a full-time replacement for John, then who replaces him for the Spanish broadcast? I don't know these answers. I don't know these things. Zach is in Kingston, New York. Zach, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, hey, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan. I appreciate your insight on you know, everything with the Yankees and sports. But the Craig Carton thing, it's just something that I don't understand. What's the appeal with this guy?
Thanks for the call, Zach. Understand this, Zach. You just called from Kingston, New York to say, what's the appeal with Craig Carton? Like, you just waited on hold, and I'm not, you know, criticizing you for waiting on hold. I thank you for making the call into my show and waiting on hold. You have to evoke emotion. You have to make people feel things, good or bad. This is radio. This is entertainment. This is sports. This is part of it. Like, from my studies and my experience, like, you can't just keep going through the motions. You can't be monotone. Man, we have artificial intelligence now. One day there may be an artificial intelligence broadcast where there's nobody calling the game. Like, that job could be taken by a computer. You know what stops it being taken from them? A person like Craig Carton? A person like Craig Carton who's got a distinct voice, a distinct background, a story that you may know good or bad things about, and it adds a buzz to the broadcast. You just answered your own question. You called WFAN hours after his broadcast ended to say, what's the appeal about this guy? Gotcha. That's it. Steve is in Hicksville, New York. Steve, you're next on the Fan.
Hey, big fan since you joined the Fan. That's a hard call to come after, but I have a few comments to make before I talk about the Chris broadcast. First, I'd just like to say, when you play golf, don't think about golf. Think about something else, and I guarantee
you'll
do
not,
really well.
How do you not think about your worst swing, your best swing, where you're hitting the ball, what you got to do to change? Like, it's how do you not think about golf? I don't know how guys drink.
You have to think about something else.
How do guys get drunk? How do guys get buzzed and play 9 holes, 18? I don't see how it works.
Just try it. You know, just go out there and tee off a few and see if you can think about something else, and you'll see how well you do. About meeting your heroes, and, you know, you're talking about meeting fan heroes. I did have the opportunity to meet David Cohn, and I really didn't think I would have anything intelligible to say. If you were to ask David, he'd probably say he didn't have anything intelligible to say. But, I mean, we had a really great conversation, and then I wasn't quite as tongue-tied as I thought I would be. But, you know, it's funny, you talked a little bit about Loogie, and I was really impressed. You know, I know Loogie has people who like him, don't like him. It doesn't matter. I enjoy all the personalities on the Fan, and I thought Loogie did a great job. And I don't necessarily agree with him, just like you didn't agree with him. But, and, you know, he has the Radio 440, which is 4 seconds, 40 words. but it was definitely entertaining. And I thought he did a great job this week. So hats off to him. Last point, and I'll talk about Chris. You know, all the people that were named by previous callers, all the people I've been filling in with, the legendary and iconic Susan Waldman, who is my hero, I think everyone did a fabulous job. You know, I'm going to start with you. When you did the color commentary, I didn't know you were going to go into the booth. And then all of a sudden I dialed in. I'm like, oh, my God, there's Keith. And you were fabulous. You know, you were really fun to listen to. I hope you get the opportunity to do it again or do play-by-play. I think you definitely have an ability to do it. You're fun to listen to. You have a distinct voice and sound. You know, like the everyman. It's great to hear you. And on Chris, you know, I thought he'd be a little more, you know, you never know with Chris, right? You never know what you're going to get with this guy. You never know.
Craig, but yes, I'm with
Chris
you.
Chris is going to show up.
Craig Carton, Craig.
But
Craig.
It was great. Craig, I mean, I'm sorry. Sorry. But you never know what Craig's going to do. But it was so much fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I listened to all the games. I thought, you know, he was getting schooled by Susan, as you said, which was great fun. He was great. He was fun. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for the call and the compliments and all of that. I mean, I'm in line with pretty much everything you said there. I was waiting for the opportunity to correct you on Craig, not Chris. It's theater of the mind. So yesterday when I'm being dad and I'm in the pool with, you know, babies, I'm listening in my AirPods when I'm, you know, in the house, we're getting food together and I'm listening to the game because as I'm telling my college roommates that I'm now hanging out with as we're all mothers and fathers, yeah, I care about the Yankees, and I would love to be at Yankee Stadium, and I want to know what the score is of the game. And you guys have known me to be like that since we were college kids. but now it's my profession. So I'm not ignoring you guys. I'm not being standoffish. I have the sound in my ears because that's keeping me updated with the game, and I'm listening to Craig Carton on his first call with Susan Waldman. And so I heard more of it yesterday in the doubleheader, and there were a bunch of little, there were funny things, and I just, you know, I think Craig did a good job, and I really appreciate Susan, and I don't want that to be lost in all of this, that, like, Susan is a pro. Susan played along. Susan definitely schooled him, corrected him a bunch, but, like, she was a great sport in all this. And with Loogie, yeah, you know, I don't know how many people have said the Loogie thing is annoying. Well, it sticks out. And Loogie has his thoughts and his takes and his shtick. I don't have any shtick. My shtick is like, I'm being regular and real. If you see me in Yankee Stadium, I sound the same way on the radio as you'll see me in the Bronx. Like, you know, I don't have too many of those one-liners or things that I, like, Loogie is almost like a WWE guy that's got his lines rehearsed. I'm happy for him and I'm proud of him, even though I completely disagree with a lot of the things that he said. You know, Pete Alonso has more homers than Judge since 2019. Meaningless. But he got a rise out of people. I just said, you need to evoke emotion when you do this stuff, good or bad or whatever. You know, you can make people happy, make people mad, whatever, but you have to stand out some way. Some of you don't like his voice. Some of you don't like my voice. Like, why do you think some of us are winning and blazing a trail through this stuff? Because we're not getting on here being monotone, you know, just going through the motions and reading the headlines and talking sports like they could literally have an AI voice do in the next 5-10 years. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. I would like to talk more about the Yankees and the Mets. Now that this Mets game, all right, here we go, the Mets fans down 1-0. The Mets fans that are waiting for the next shoe to drop, the doom and gloom Mets fans, all right, here it comes. We're getting swept. We're getting shut out again. A lot of game left to play, a lot of show left. For me, I'm on till 9 p.m. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. I like to think the Yankees celebration when they point to their eyes is like the title of this song. All eyes on me. All eyes on me. DJ, when he does it very robotic. He does it very stiff, like, doot, doot. But good to see him getting hits and getting on base. We'll get into conversation around Gleyber Torres' hit streak and what this lineup's really starting to look like with Austin Wells coming into his own. Jose Trevino coming back, but I don't think that's going to affect Austin Wells' playing time. That sends Carlos Narvaez down. Giancarlo Stanton, good to see you. Didn't take too long for you to get back. Juan Soto, the generational Juan Soto. We'll get into the calls because I spoke on my thoughts about Juan Soto and next year, and I said don't think about it, but we have calls, and people want to voice their opinion on Juan Soto. But let's take one more call on the Yankees broadcast booth after Craig Carton did the last three games. I thought it was great, too, that he ended up getting the doubleheader, because when I talked to Craig about it, I'm like, man, doing the Friday night and then that turnaround to Saturday, like, is tough, especially if you're like me. Like, I could not sleep. I could not get over the fact that I actually did that. I got no sleep in between. And next thing you know, it's like, yep, time to put the suit on, get in the car, and drive to the stadium. So Craig just put on his Twitter account, at Craig Carton Live. Thanks for all the love. And for those of you who claim to have hated it, you listen too. So that's a win. My voice started to go for sure. I ran out of honey, LOL. Just an amazing experience. Susan was great to me, and I'm blessed to have gotten the chance. Thanks to WFAN and the Yanks. He just put that on his Twitter 19 minutes ago. Let's take one more call on that, and then I got things that I've been putting show notes together since Thursday of things to talk about on The Fan. Like, it's preseason. I don't care what Tommy DeVito does against backups that are going to be cutter on the practice squad. As much money as they're paying Daniel Jones, as much rapport as you're already seeing Daniel Jones have with Malik Nabers, Daniel Jones is your week one starter, no matter what. And Malik Nabers had an ankle injury. That's something we didn't talk about. This guy's going to be the greatest receiver of all time for the New York Giants. You heard that on The Fan. This guy's better than Garrett Wilson already. You heard that on The Fan. This guy's going to be better than 95% of the receivers he's on the field against this season. You literally heard that on The Fan. Well, what if he's not on the field because he's hurt? Or what if he's rendered useless because Drew Lock is in the game or Tommy DeVito is in the game or even Daniel Jones is in the game. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's take this last call on the booth. Jamie is in East Brunswick. Jamie, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. Oh, my God. First of all, I don't know, real quick, I'm going to have to start calling you Google, man. Me and my friends last night were just talking about the two fingers to the eyes, and we said DJ LeMahieu is definitely like a robot, and we also said we bet that Juan Soto is going to be the first person to poke himself in the eyes because he's so, like, animated when he does it. That's great that you brought that up. But real quick, you guys, everybody keeps talking about the announcing thing. I've been around for a little while. I watched it when it was Phil Rizzuto and it was Frank Messer, Bill White. But, like, when they left, you know, New York is a – we don't like change, you know? So – and we want it to be perfect. We got so used to them for so long that we wanted it to be perfect. We got so used to Sterling, and we want it to be perfect. At the end of the day, whoever they hire – I have my 11-year-old with me. I'm going to make him promise that in 25 years, he's going to call the fan and have the same conversation that I heard my dad talking about it. Does anybody really, once somebody gets in, we're going to get used to him, no matter who it is. Mm-hmm. We're going to get used to him, and he's going to be the best that's ever been, and we're going to love the person 25, 30 years down the road. They're going to switch him out. And it's going to, as conversations are going to keep going and going. I don't know. Am I crazy? What do you think?
No, you're spot on. We do hate change, but change is constant. Everything changes around us. And over time, we just forget. People don't like change here at the Fan. I equated, people are like, oh, well, look how much the Fan has fallen. Oh, we'll never have another Mike and the Mad Dog. Yeah, duh, you're not supposed to. Just like, you know, Windows 98, everybody used. No one uses it now. We have to evolve, right? Every year there's a new iPhone. Every year there's new technology. I just saw a video of a Chick-fil-A robot car delivering someone their Chick-fil-A order. Like, we're moving into the future with new things. Just understand that nothing will ever be the same. It's always going to change. And especially something like a broadcast booth. God bless John Sterling. But the man had enough.
Amen. Amen to that, brother. Just one last thing. I'm sorry, Loogie. Loogie, I don't care what you want to call yourself. I feel like you just got to grow up a little bit, Loogie. You're playing too much with your heart. Everybody can tell that you hate the Yankees. The nonsense that comes out of your mouth is crazy. It's just crazy, see, and I agree with you 100%.
This was Loogie week. We're talking about Loogie, and he's not on the schedule at all today. This is the start of a new week. Everybody's coming back this week, but we're still going to be talking about what Loogie did last week.
Absolutely. He was arguing that the integrity of the game was going to be bad. So you know what? Let's change the rule that made the integrity to not let everybody be able to intentionally
walk. He got me with that one. Someone called and they're like, wait, then you'll be penalizing the team that does it for what the teams before them did with the intentional walk. That doesn't make any sense.
Listen, thanks for taking my call. You're great, and you deserve everything you got, brother.
Thanks for the call, Jamie. 888-808-1019. Shout out to Loogie, man. He's a generational talent. The future of the Fan. Not by himself. Certainly not by himself. I enjoyed listening to Big Mac, their banter back and forth. I saw a lot of people saying, this is like Mike and the Mad Dog. Enough. Enough with comparing everybody to somebody else. For the kids listening, like Jamie said, his 11-year-old son is with him and is going to be calling the Fan in 25 years. Like, I don't ever say I'm the future of the Fan, but I lean into the fact that I have the most young kids calling my show. Like, if you just do the math, who is the future callers and listeners and supporter of the, like, I already have a bunch of 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old fans. And for you young guys listening, my advice to you is be yourself. Everybody else is taken. It's cliche, but, like, don't try and model yourself after anybody else. Be you. Think for yourself. You know, the voice and the way you sound is God-given. You know, your voice, maybe you don't have the voice for it. Maybe you can, I don't know, change your vernacular and your vocabulary and some things. But, like, you either got it or you don't. So I'll tell you straight up, I listen to a lot of radio and podcasts. There's some guys I can't listen to. The voice, no. Either, like, if your voice is a certain way where I can't listen, or if you sound like you've got marbles in your mouth, like, man, take a sip of water, something. Clear it. Like, there's some people I can't. I just can't. But as far as, like, how you create your brand and your sound and this theater of mind that we create on the radio and podcast, don't try and be Chris Russo. Don't try and be Mike Francesa. They're them. There is never going to be another Steve Summers. When I first came in, people said, oh, wow. How are you going to replace Steve? I'm not. How are you going to walk in Steve Summers' shoes? Can't. Not going to attempt to. Steve is an icon. He's one of one. I can only be me. And that's the advice that I give to you guys. I have been consistently myself through a bunch of different things in life. I had people look down on me. I had people treat me as a second-class citizen, tell me that I would never make it, that I wasn't cut out for radio, television, and I still was being me. And that went in one ear and out the other as I just worked on my craft and became more and more. And when I look at people like Susan, I'm not sure how old Susan is, but she's been in the game forever. She's a Hall of Famer. I know Craig is in his mid-50s. He's been in the game for a long time. He went out and worked in Denver. He worked in Philly. He worked in Jersey. He was here doing it. Now he's on Fox. And like, man, I just turned 36, right? Jamie just said Loogie's got to grow up. Loogie's about to be 40. C-Mac is 40. I think Evan is 40. You know, by the time I'm 40, 50, 60, I want to have a career that I'm proud of, and I want to get better and better and better at the craft while staying true to myself. 888-808-1019. It is already about to be 8 o'clock, so let's do a Casamigos big shot of the night. I will pick a player to award that to. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. Dial 888-808-1019 if you want to talk about anything besides Craig Carton and the Yankees broadcast booth. Bravo to the Yankees mixing it up and doing something that people are literally talking about 4 hours after the game still, and we'll continue talking about on the Fan the rest of this week. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.